So, Kirsten, last time we talked about the promise of value, what we defined as the soft stuff.
Yep.
Now, as anyone knows, if you leave bread out overnight, it goes all hard and crunchy. And in the same way, if you leave your soft stuff alone for too long, it goes stale as well. So how do we keep the soft stuff fresh?
Well, the easiest way is to live it every day. And that breathes constant life into it. So think of it, thinking of your bread analogy, think of it as a sourdough starter. You have to feed it every day. And there is a bakery in London somewhere that's using a sourdough starter from 1964. So like sourdough, if you feed it properly, your culture, your soft stuff can last decades.
So pretty similar to maintaining a garden, which adapts with the season easily, if you get the initial landscaping structure right and keep up with the maintenance.
Yeah. And most importantly, just because something is landscaped and maintained doesn't mean it has to be regimented. You can have creativity and wildness as long as it fits within your risk framework.
Gotcha.
So how do we apply that to the people agenda and get people to live it every day?
So I guess this is about engagement. And specifically employee engagement, one of my favourite topics, as you know.
Yes.
As we've previously spoken about, engaged employees or individuals have an engaged purpose aligned to the organisational values and strategy. And in order to give these people engaged purpose, it's not enough to ask them what they think. It's about a 360-degree process where people can see their thoughts being actioned and feedback on.
Mm.
Very simple, practical way of doing this is... You said we did.
Yep.
You see that a lot in the public sector, in the NHS and so on, posted up on the hospitals. You said we did. And yeah. It applies to their customers as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a regular and visible cultural process within the organisation. And this prompts a culture of refusing to tolerate behaviours that are not aligned to organisational beliefs.
Hmm. Okay, lovely.
So it's easy to see how individuals are engaged in this way. But how does a process support that so that individuals become part of an orchestra... Mm-hmm. As opposed to being competing soloists.
Okay. Well, if this was an orchestra, what you would do, what your musicians would do, they would practice. They would practice individually, but they'd also practice as a group. They would get together on a regular basis and practice sections of the music together and think about how they could make it sound better.
Mm-hmm.
And they will only... incorporate those changes if there's evidence that it actually makes the performance better. So I think you can do something very similar in a business. You get people together for group practice and they come and talk about the process, talk about what works, what doesn't work, how you might make things easier or better for the customer. And then you get a scribe to take notes and then those can be followed up afterwards. And the point is, everybody has a turn at being a scribe, so that everybody's got the responsibility of capturing or takes turns at doing that. And you might decide what you incorporate based on any number of ways. You could vote, you could have alternative options, so you could actually give people choices and say you can do any one of two or three things because they're all good, and you choose at the time which is the most appropriate.
So it's a bit like a director's note.
Yeah.
If you think of a theatre or a film, so he'll let actors play out the role several times.
Yeah.
Then write a note into the script, into the guidance that he wants to give. Still keeps the individuality, but it becomes an ensemble performance.
Yeah, exactly. And the point is, this kind of group practice helps to remind everyone that they are part of an orchestra and custodians of the promise. So they're collaborating to produce an experience that embodies that promise for the customer. And that experience, if you think about it like a play or a piece of music, that experience actually been built on the efforts of all the people who went before you, all the people that you work with, and is going to be carried on by everybody that comes after you. And I think having that kind of group practice helps people think of that bigger picture. This is something we're doing for the long term.
Gotcha.
So what other human factors do businesses need to consider to keep things fresh?
Businesses change.
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah. How do they change?
So products often evolve over time, particularly in manufacturing environments, for example, but also in services firms. So think of Ernst & Young, famous accountancy firm, who used to be just accountants. But they're now a full-service consultancy and legal firm.
Right.
Even within a subset, even within accountancy, what accountants are allowed to offer changes through regulatory environments. So an example of that would be probate services, which a few years ago were the domain of the lawyers, but now can be offered by many probate practitioners within accountancy practices. Why is this important? Because this can change your customer demographic, which has a direct impact on your employer brand. One of the key things that potential employees look at when assessing a company, whether they'd like to join it or work for it, is what type of customer they're going to be serving. So whilst product change might not initially be considered a human factor, it clearly is when you consider the impact it has on your staff and your customers.
That's really interesting. What do you mean by that?
So let's think of an example. Companies morph over time. So British Petroleum subtly, without fanfare, rebranded to BP. They then started saying that BP stood for Beyond Petroleum, as opposed to British Petroleum. And they now spend hundreds of millions of dollars every year developing things like wind turbines. So 20 years ago, an environmentally sensitive graduate might not be attracted to an oil company for obvious reasons. But actually now they might be, because they'd have the chance to work on leading edge technology with an environmental impact. So the promise of value from BP hasn't changed. They're still an energy provider, but they're just changing how they deliver value to their customers and also to their shareholders.
And that kind of changes their employer brand.
Exactly.
That's it.
So a less positive example would be a trucking company that plays heavily on its family staff environment. We're all one big happy family, because, of course, a lot of that is people driving trucks. But what if they then decide to invest very heavily in autonomous vehicles? So it's still a trucking or haulage company, but its product delivery model is very different, as it's its employer brand, and therefore its attractiveness for people to join that brand. Now, with many individuals, and we know this younger generation more than any other before, are very vocal about their beliefs and will not work for an organisation that is not ethically aligned to them. Remember the Care Curve podcast that I did? So I think there's a lot more to this whole topic.
Yep.
And I don't think we've got time to discuss it all today.
Nope, unfortunately.
All the things that companies get wrong, all the things you do to keep it fresh.
Okay, so let's have that discussion next then.
Perfect.
Thank you.